I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to spend a few moments setting the context for our communion service this evening, as we do each year, this Thursday communion, a very special time together as a church family. And we're just going to look at Matthew 26, and I'll read for us from verse 26 to verse 30. Let's bow our heads and pray as we come now to God's Word. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity to gather this evening around your table. We pray as we come now to your word that it would point us in the right direction, that we would understand the real meaning of communion together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew 26, and I'll read for us, friends, from verse 26 to verse 30. Let's hear God's word together. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. I suppose all of us have fond memories of particular meals that we like. Perhaps a meal that your mother used to cook for you when you were growing up, or maybe, like me, you remember food from the country where you came from that you only occasionally get. And yes, there is occasionally some good food in England. But as something pleasant in terms of a meal memory. And we have these associations of feelings with food, don't we? It's something about eating. It goes right down. It's a visceral, literally a visceral reaction we have to food. It gets into our gut. And so meals mean something to us. And I suppose we all have associations with certain kinds of special meals as well. Perhaps there's a kind of meal that you like to have for your birthday, or your parents like to have your birthday, or your husband or your wife likes to have for his or her birthday. And the food means something, but the gathering means something. And it's a special occasion. And then there's another kind of meal that I think is familiar to most of us, which would be a last meal. And of course, this tonight is a meal, and it's the Last Supper. It's the last meal, the Last Supper. But we have similar kind of associations with last meals, don't we? I was thinking back to my days as an undergraduate student, and I remember there were some moments when we gathered as friends, and I've seen those friends since. But there's something special and, you know, not going to be repeated about gathering with your friends for your last meal as college students, or your last meal as high school students. And it resonates with a kind of special meaning, not just because of the food, but because you sense it's not going to be repeated again. And I can conjure up in my mind, and I think you probably can in yours, moments like that. It's not going to happen again, perhaps on a camp or something. You've gathered together, and it's the last day of the summer camp, and you eat, and you know you'll see them again, but that moment won't be repeated. Well, this is a meal, and it's the Last Supper. And what we need to think through together is exactly what it means. That's what we're going to try and find out very briefly this evening. What does communion mean? First, communion shows you how God saves you. It's a Passover meal. And those of us who are scholars of this particular moment in the Bible will know that there's a lot of conversation down through the years as to exactly what kind of Passover meal. But certainly it was a Passover meal, some kind or other. And you can see that in verse 17, and Jesus saying, "Where will you have us prepare?" The disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And the Passover, of course, goes back to the book of Exodus. The Passover is a story. And it's a story of how God rescued his people from Egypt. You can read about the first institution of the Passover in Exodus chapter 12. It was a feast. The feast of unleavened bread. And those two are connected in ways that are quite complicated. But a Passover and a feast. And the point of the Passover was to tell us that God redeemed his people through the sacrifice of a lamb. They were rescued from Egypt. They were saved from the wrath of God through the sacrifice of a lamb. And the point of this Last Supper is to tell us that that Passover meal is actually all about an event to come at the cross. So communion shows us how God saves us. It shows us that God saves us through the sacrifice of the Lamb, the cross. It reminds us how God saved us in the real salvation from Egypt, the real Egypt, our sin and the wrath of God. This is the real Passover. Second, communion reminds us what Jesus did. So verses 26 and 28, familiar words, take, eat, this is my body. And then verse 28, for this is my blood. Down through the years, there's been a lot of debate on the meaning of is, exactly what is the equivalent that Jesus is saying when he says, this is my body, this is my blood. It's often struck me as somewhat ironic, given that historic debate that is still very prevalent in all sorts of denominations and churches. It struck me as pretty ironic that almost certainly Jesus was speaking in Aramaic at the time, and I'm certainly not an Aramaic scholar, but as far as I can figure out, there is no is in Aramaic exactly as we have it in English, so it always struck me as rather ironic. The point is that he's pointing to the body and blood, his sacrifice. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, Paul quotes Jesus' own words when he says, do this in remembrance of me. And the memorial, the reminder, is intended to be pleasurable for his followers. C.S. Lewis, in his Out of the Silent Planet science fiction, a trilogy of science fiction books that he wrote, less well known than some of his other books, he has a moment in that book where he talks about how the memory of an event fulfills the pleasure of that event. And as we are reminded what Jesus did, that itself is a pleasure. Third, communion assures you of God's promise. It's a covenant. Jesus tells us, this is my blood of the covenant, verse 28. The covenant goes all the way back to Abraham, and it's connected to the Passover. When God looks down on his suffering people in Egypt, he is reminded of his covenant to Abraham. And now, then, in Exodus 24, verse 8, we're told there is the blood of the covenant for his people because they have been rescued from the wrath of God through the blood of a lamb that is now fulfilled in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus himself. That was about this. God's covenant, we are assured of his faithful promise. Or you may remember in Genesis chapter 15 when the covenant is introduced to Abraham, where two pieces of a bird are separated and God himself symbolically goes through those two pieces, saying that he will be faithful to his covenant to his people, even though it cost him his own body, which it did. The covenant in his own blood. Fourth, communion calls you to commit. Take, eat, drink. The words for communion and the different words that Christians use for communion are taken from the teaching in the Bible. The Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20. Communion itself is an English possible translation of the word participation, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16, or koinonia. It's a participation together. Or Eucharist, which is in some churches used for communion, is simply a Greek word which translates 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. He had given thanks, Eucharisteo. It's a thanksgiving, the Eucharist, the communion. Not a depressing moment, a thanksgiving, a Eucharist, a communion where we are brought together as reminded of our union of the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. It's an ordinance, some people say, because that's what Jesus ordained, as we read about in Matthew and in the Gospels. Some people say it's a sacrament. That comes from the Latin sacramentum, which means it's an oath of allegiance. The sacramentum was an oath that Roman soldiers made of allegiance to a particular legion of some kind or other. It's an oath, a commitment to follow Jesus. So there's grace, of course, in communion, but it requires a commitment of response. Eat, drink, renew your covenant vows, renew your allegiance to Christ. Fifth, communion is your blessing, joy, and praise. They sung a hymn. That's probably the Hallel hymns from Psalms 113 to 118. They're known as the Hallel hymns. They are sung throughout the Passover meal and at the end of it, probably singing from the Hallel hymns. Psalm 113, praise the Lord. Psalm 114, when Israel went out from Egypt, the sea looked and fled, trembled earth, O earth, at the presence of the Lord. Imagine them singing these words. The presence of the Lord. Psalm 115, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he has heard my pleas for mercy. Are you pleading that God would have mercy on you? Come to him this evening. He will hear your pleas for mercy. Psalm 117, praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples. Psalm 118, oh, give thanks, Eucharisteo, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Communion means what? Communion shows you how God saves you. He reminds you what Jesus did, assures you of God's promise, calls you to commit, and is your blessing, joy, and praise. Listen to these words from a very much lesser well-known hymn for communion from many, many years ago, but it's very beautiful. Here they are. Sweet feast of love divine, 'tis grace that makes us free to feed upon this bread and wine in memory, Lord, of thee. Here every welcome guest waits, Lord, from thee to learn the secrets of thy Father's breast, and all thy grace discern. Here conscience ends its strife, and faith delights to prove the sweetness of the bread of life, the fullness of thy love. Thy blood that flowed for sin, in symbol here we see, and feel the blessed pledge within that we are loved of thee. But if this glimpse of love is so divinely sweet, what would it be, O Lord above, thy gladdening smile to meet, to see thee face to face, thy perfect likeness wear, and all thy ways of wondrous grace through endless years declare. Let's pray together. Our Father God, thank you for this feast of communion, the Lord's Supper. And as we come to it now, we pray your blessing upon our time. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.